Howard Hendricks of Dallas Seminary made this statement. He said, "Nothing is so easy as talking, but nothing is so difficult as communication. Nothing is so easy as talking, but nothing is so difficult as communication." And I believe that. It's easy to talk, but to communicate is another story. And in communication, there's probably two ways that you can tell whether you're getting through. One is, what do the people understand when you're through? And secondly, what do they do after they hear you? That's your test of communication. What did they understand when you got through? And what did they do as a result of what you said? That's communication. Communication also is the act of passing along information, either by speaking or writing or some other method, so that the giver and the receiver have exactly the same information. Do you get that? So the giver and receiver have exactly the same information. I remember in the Navy, with the old semaphore, we used to use a flag. You know, we had A, B, C, D, and throw those things around, you know. And boy, if the guy wasn't getting it on the other end, he would just, you know, whoa, start all over again. A, B, C, we'd practice these things in boot camp and work them on the ship. And boy, you knew if you were getting through. The guy would just tell you, forget it, start all over again. And that's communication. When you're getting through to the receiver, and he's picking up exactly what you want him to get across, what you want to get across to him. Okay, why is it important? Well, we must have communication for healthy relationships with people. Boy, in the secular world, I spent 8 years in business, and I found I had to communicate. Many times I didn't. And many of you here in business, and in the secular world, in business dealings, you have to communicate. Or you can lose all kinds of money. You can lose your reputation if you don't communicate properly. In your marriage relationship, you have to communicate. If you don't, you're going to have problems. You may lose that wonderful mate that God's given you. All right, even in your witnessing. You know, we draw out the bridge illustration. We have the four spiritual laws. We have the four steps to peace with God. We have the three circles. We have the Roman road. You know, these things help communicate the gospel, don't they? And if we don't communicate, the people won't understand. Therefore, they get a blur rather than the concise picture you want them to get of the Savior. So communication is a must in everyday living. And I could just ask the question, who's going to be in heaven? Howard, who's going to be in heaven? The saved. The saved who? People. See? So our life is one long contact with people, either in the business world or with our dear mate, or trying to win people to the Savior and get them going in the Word of God. See, we can't get away from people. We don't want to get away from people. I mean, sometimes you have to. As Lauren was sharing last night, you know, it's nice to get here in Colorado and be able to stretch your elbows a little bit and get up in the mountains and get away from people just for a little while, you know. There's a time when in Los Angeles area or the Bay Area, it's just people all the time. I appreciated what he said last night on going out and hitting it in the battle and then going into a recluse for a while. You know, just to get away and go in the mountains for a while and kind of hide out. We need that. But you know, we've got to come back to where we live. We can't be hermits all our lives, can we? And get the old camper out and go up in the mountains and just stay there. You've got to live, you know, where people are. And boy, I appreciate getting away up on the lake, like in Lake Tamarack up by Redding. And for 4 days, we saw three people. I really appreciated that. All we had to do was get our line wet and roll in a few trout, you know, and go to bed when we felt like it and get up when we felt like it and ate when we felt like it. It's kind of threw the schedule to the wind for a while. Then we had to come back to the Bay Area and start all over again with people. You know, you have to relate to people. And to do it properly, you have to communicate. All right, I thought here, without communication, you have mass confusion. You can jot the reference down. Genesis 11 carries a tremendous story of the building or partial building of the Tower of Babel, or Babel, whatever you prefer. They became babbling idiots, we know that. But you know what the problem was? They tried to get up to where God was their own way. We're going to get up in the heavens. We're going to get out there and shake God's hand. We'll show him. Boy, he made us. We're like he is. I'll just get up there and shake his hand, probably one fellow thought, the superintendent. So he started building, and it probably got up there several miles, and God got a little concerned. So said he came down and looked at the structure. And he was displeased. And he stopped the progress. And you know what he did? I think we all know. He sent different languages to all these people. And I was thinking this morning, it said that they had brick for stone, and they had slime for mortar. Just old slimy stuff, kind of like cement today, but it's probably like lime and cement mixed together, slime. That's what they had to stick in the cracks. And they laid the brick for stone on top, and they were really getting up in there. Man, up in the clouds. And God says, man, they're getting up here close to me. So he went down and stopped the progress. And I can see the old fellow on top laying brick and just really doing it great, you know, man. Like the castle, if you notice around the courtyard, you'll see beautiful brick placed correctly. Fabulous job of laying brick in this building. And God came down and looked at it and was concerned. And he sent different languages to these people. So here's a guy laying brick up here, doing a good job. And, hey, down there, I need some more brick. And the guy thinks he meant, you know, different language. He thought he said, move the ladder. Man, the guy moves the ladder and he drops about 4 miles. Man, everything got fouled up. They couldn't communicate. So mass confusion prevailed. And many times I've tried to get things across, you know, and man, I think I was really communicating. And spending maybe an hour just sharing with a guy and just going over in detail what it is. And after you get all through, you find out that you're not any further ahead than when you started. You may as well have been speaking in German or Japanese language or something. He didn't get it. And I think, man, what a poor communicator I am. Actually, there are 7 steps in communication. And I've written this on the board here. Partial drawing and writing. You all see that? And the first one is a concept, feeling that I have or you have. And this is actually, number one, what do you want to get across? What do you want to communicate? Is it the gospel? Is it a sale you're trying to make in business? What is it you want to communicate? Is it something you want to share with your wife that's hard? What is it you want to communicate? See, you have to have that understanding. That's number one. And number two is the words you use to communicate that which you want to say. And someone has said, and this is good, Howard Hendricks said, this is a boxcar in which the commodity you want to transmit is carried. So the words carry what we want to say to the individual or the people we're seeking to communicate with. So the words we use then really should express that which we want to say. Sometimes it doesn't. Then the speech, supposed to be a picture of a guy and a speech coming out of his mouth, is 3. The words we choose or the words we use to communicate and how we say it just leads to this, how we say what we want to say. You follow that? We can have the words pretty well chosen, but the inflection, see? I know a fellow, Joe Noble, an old NAV contact. And Joe, when he speaks, gets up. He's an executive secretary to Standard Oil vice president, and he just speaks like this. And it's so slow. But every word is chosen perfectly. And his inflection is just kind of like this. And you listen. Other fellows are the authoritative type, and they beat the pulpit all the time, you know, and try to communicate that way. And most of us kind of fall in the middle somewhere. But the inflection you use and how you say what you want to say is 3. Then the distractions. 4. When you're communicating and you've got a problem in the fellow you're talking to, maybe he's thinking about something entirely different. He's thinking about water skiing when you're trying to talk about the gospel. See? Oh, if I just get up on that lake and water ski. Man, that's what I want to do. So you think you're getting across now. Do you get that third step in the four steps to peace with God? Do you get that third one? Is that when you get up on one ski? No, no. Now, wait a minute. We're not talking about water skiing. We're talking about the gospel. So you have to eliminate or at least overcome those distractions somehow. Say, fella, do you know that you're going to hell without the Savior? Sometimes you have to get that firm with servicemen. He forgets about water skiing for a while. You've kind of removed that distraction, see? It's kind of left his mind going, where? I thought I was going up in the pond and go water skiing. No, it may be a little hotter than that. So you try to get rid of that distraction. Or maybe you've got a pair of red socks on. He's looking at your red socks. And you're trying to talk to him about the gospel. And all you think about those red socks. Man, I wish I had a pair of red socks. No, they don't look too good either. So here you're trying to talk to him. And he's thinking about your red socks. Or you've got some soup on your tie. If you wear a tie, you're hanging there. And he's looking at the soup. What is this, tomato? Or what do you have tonight for supper? See? And you're trying to make a point. And here you've got soup all down your tie, and he's watching it, see? You won't get very far, so you have to overcome that distraction. And then the big ear. This is an ear down here, supposed to be. That's a big ear. And this only removes the obstruction, see? Then he has to listen keenly. James 1:19. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. And I think this applies both to the hearer and to the communicator. That when you're communicating, and you stop for a while and kind of get a little feedback, and listen, you have to listen yourself attentively, but he too must listen if he's going to get what you have to share. So it works both ways, the big ear. Then the words that he thinks when you have told him what you thought. You get that? You're using certain words, but what he hears now may be a little different. We trust it's the same as he got up here, but many times it isn't. And this depends then, of course, on number 7. What actually did he get? What is the feeling that he got out of all this? Is what he feels down here, is it the same as what you started out feeling like and you want to communicate to him? So I'm trying to say that number 7 here and number 1 should be identical when you're through. And about the only way you can get that is feedback. See, that's why, again, we mentioned at the outset, the test of communication is what he understands when you're through, or what she understands, or the group you're speaking to, and what that person or that group does after you've shared with them what you want to share. But many times, we get all through, and it looks kind of like this, doesn't it? See? We didn't really hit the nail on the head. Rather than this being like this, it's kind of like this. And number 7 is all distorted, and you have to start all over again. Okay, let's move on to essentials then, and this fits right in with this, for communication, or real communication, or effective communication, maybe a better word. An understanding of what we want to impart. That's driving the nail in a little further on point 1. An understanding of what we want to impart. Now, I can't relate to you or impart to you Einstein's theory on the, what is it, relativity. His theory of relativity leaves me cold. You know, I cannot explain that. But Dr. Werner von Braun can. He could stand up here and tell you in about 3 or 4 hours the theory of relativity. I cannot. But I can tell you what our program's going to be today. I understand that. And tomorrow, we worked on this for a few hours. See, I understand that. I can communicate it. So we have to have an understanding of what we want to communicate. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4, I'll just give you that reference and quote it. A house is builded through wisdom, but established through understanding. A house is builded through wisdom, but established through understanding. See, any guy can marry any gal, and they can build a house or have a contractor build it, but it doesn't mean they're going to have understanding in that home. unless they communicate. Isn't that right? I've seen people living together in the same house, but it wasn't a home. They never got together and talked. They were just living there together. They don't communicate. There's no understanding. But the end result of communication is understanding. We have to have an understanding before we can impart anything. We have to know what that subject material is before we can impart it. Then secondly, be specific, concise, and personal. Be specific, concise, and personal in communicating. In other words, don't go around the barn four times before you go in the door. Isn't that easy to do? You're on a subject and you're beating around the bush, you're beating around the barn, and you're saying everything else, but the real thing. Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. Come out and share the truth concisely, specifically, and personally. Thirdly, choose the proper time to communicate, and don't hurry. And you wives, save the bad news when the husband gets home from a rough day at the office or at his work. And Johnny has just knocked the ball through the back window. Don't tell him that as soon as he opens the door. Bob, Johnny just broke that $100 pane in the back. Oh, where's the chair, And the dear guy doesn't need to hear that. He's been clobbered all day long out in the business world. He doesn't need to come home, and as soon as the wife opens the door, with long hair, it hadn't been combed for a while, maybe, and John, he just knocked the ball through the door before he got here, Bob. Johnny just, he didn't mean to. So you kind of save that until a little later. Take him into another room, into the living room or something. Don't let him see that back room for a while. And turn the stove down for a while and talk, and turn the hi-fi up a little bit. Kind of set the stage a little bit, rather than just kind of, well, you got to get supper ready, and boy, Johnny ruined things. I'm in a mess today. And get the right time to share those things. You can tell, you wives can tell about the window being broken later. And take time. Take a lot of time to communicate. There has to be the inner exchange or the exchanging of conversation, doesn't there, on both parts. And with our kiddos, it's so important. I have a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old now. And when you get a 16-year-old boy, I'm not sure, Elvin, or some of you that have 16, 18, 19-year-old girls, which is the most difficult to raise, but I'll tell you, a 16-year-old boy is just like seeing yourself all over again. And it isn't too good sometimes. Yeah, well, Fred, every time I see my boy, I see heredity. Well, whatever he's doing on a basketball court, don't make that shot. He gets up and fans out when he's playing Little League. Oh, he's in the bigger league now. And why did he do that? Oh, what a goof. But it's just me all over again. I used to goof too out there. But you kind of want him to be better somehow. And so he's 16. He's gotten his driver's license. He saved up $200 on a paper route. Well, the next thing, naturally, is get a car. Everybody gets a car at 16 today. So here you are, getting bombarded from all sides. Dad, I've got a little Triumph down here. He only wants $350 for it. Convertible. Man, you can wear it, But no, I want it. I want to drive it. you get that lump down out of your throat and try to be kind of calm. And really? Why don't we go out and talk about it? So you can't talk around the home too much with a phone call and people coming. So we drive down somewhere and go and sit and talk for several hours. Back and forth. And you try to use all the psychology if you know any. I don't know very much. But, Terry, why don't we just write down, good points and bad points? Oh, Dad, if you do that, the bad points will outweigh the good. You win, see? I don't like that idea. So you try over again. What did I say now? Well, see, do you know your insurance will cost $300 a year in Oakland Bay Area? Well, yeah, I can pay it. I can get a job caddying, $10 on Saturday and $4 each night. I'll do it. Well, that's $30 a month, and the gasoline will be another $15 or $20. $45 a month. Can you afford that? Where do you get that money? You can buy the car now. Where do you get that money for gas and insurance? I'll caddy. But you won't be able to play basketball next year. Oh, I can do both. Play basketball for a while and then caddy for a while. Well, how are you going to eat? Well, 9 o'clock at night, I'll eat. I'd all figured out. just right down. And I could see it was about even. You know, he was right even with, maybe a little ahead of me. So I said, well, can I stop here? After he got his license, can I stop here and caddy? I'll stop at the country club and caddy for a few hours and come home. It was Monday. Just gotten out of school that Friday. And praise the Lord for an insurance man. Terry didn't know the club was closed. Couldn't caddy, so he started going home. And it was about 15 blocks from our house. And an insurance man picked him up. Oh, what a blessing. I think he may have been I'm not sure. I better not say it, Freddie. Maybe it was State Farm. He could have been, but I'm not sure. And anyhow, he's a good man. If he is, I'm sure going to give State Farm a boost. He did more in 5 minutes. He picked up Terry. How's it going, son? Asked him a few questions. Just got my license. I'm going to buy a car. He told his insurance man, see? Insurance man said, oh, really? Yeah. How did your dad feel about it? Not very good. Well, you know, you'll probably have an accident before long, and your grades will go down because you won't study like you should. And you probably won't get into college. And you probably can't get covered insurance after you have your first two accidents. And in 5 minutes, he did more than I did in 2 or 3 hours. Terry came home and said, Dad, I think you're right. I won't get a car. Oh, I feel good. You know, these guys. But this guy communicated just at the right time. I took the time, but he had just the perfect timing. He came in, picked him up, club was closed, drove him home in 5 minutes, and that did it. Terry was open, and boy, you wives and husbands, you have to be open to each other, don't you? You can't be closed and expect to communicate. So the time has to be right. And for Shirley and I and the boys, we find that when I'm home, the evening is good. Around the table, it's kind of hectic, because some of you around the table can do it. It's the best time to sit there and talk after a meal. And we try this sometime, but our time seems to be better around bedtime. The boys are kind of mellow, and, you know, they're talking a little bit, and we kind of carry on conversation. We pray a little bit, and then they have something to say about a point, and we listen, and we have something to say, and they listen, and we pray, and we all go to bed. And it really works out good. So pick out the time. And for Cheryl and I, personally, we just find that it's good to go out for low-calorie pie and coffee. It's hard to find low-calorie pie around, though. So we go out for dessert. Just get away and go down to Jack London Square or something, look out at the ships going by, and a cup of coffee and some pie or something like that, and just sit there and talk for 2 or 3 hours. We try to do this about every month. Then I try to take her out on a dinner date occasionally. I like to say every 2 weeks, but we don't make it that often. But take the wife out, and then you can communicate sometime out there much more than you can around the house. Kids are crying and telephones are ringing, and you never get around to saying what you want to say to each other. All right, then, well, we know in California, 1 out of 2 marriages end in divorce. Isn't that sad? Probably the main reason is husband and wife do not communicate. Therefore, they do not understand each other. Therefore, they leave each other. It's a crying need today, isn't it? And also, when you get into a little heated discussion, and it happens to all of us, try dropping your voice 1 octave rather than going up 2. It really helps. You know, I think for years, I hate to admit this, but it's true in my own family. My father, would pick his voice up so high that you could hear him for 3 or 4 blocks. And that's all I can remember for 15 years, hearing Dad holler and scream at Mom and say, boy, it didn't get through to me that when I get married, that's not going to happen. So if you can drop down an octave rather than going up 2, you get a lot more done. And you wives have some pretty high voices, so make sure you drop them. And then you must have basic honesty. This is the 4th point. Essentials for a real or effective communication. You must have basic honesty. This fits right in with what we've been saying here. A willingness to share your inner fears and your inner problems with your mate. Have a couple in Oakland, that the husband thinks the wife is perfect, almost. And his image of her is so good that she just never does anything wrong. And she's always right. And what she does is always the way it should be done. When she has all these inner fears and all these problems, and she says, I can't tell him because he'll lose a good image he has of me. So she's hiding all these fears. And he thinks she's the greatest, and she's not quite that good. I think it's great for us to think our wives are the greatest. But he thinks she's almost problem-free, but she's got all these hidden fears. Wonderful Christian family. But they're going to have some real problems unless she can communicate and get him to understand that she does have a problem or two. 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. If you really love your wife, and you wives really love your husbands, you shouldn't have that fear. And Proverbs 13:10 is probably the problem. Only by pride comes contention. Only by pride comes contention. So when you're closed, it's just your old proud heart. That's your problem. Pride. All right, lastly under this, or this will be the last point actually, use illustrations to communicate your ideas. Use illustrations to communicate your ideas. I think John Crawford has been the greatest help to me on this. I took over from him in Oakland when he left 3.5 years ago. He had fixed up the home that he was in so nicely that I was almost afraid to take it over. But the thing that encouraged me was that he not only said, here's how to paint, and here's how to chip paint, but here's how to do it. He shared all the theory, and he took me out with a paintbrush in hand and showed me everything. Now, most people paint when paint's running all the way down their elbows and dripping off. Don't paint that way. You can get away from that. He showed me how to do it, so you don't paint that way. With things running, paint all over here. Always have a rag in your back pocket. Get the paint up where it's spilled when it's fresh. Always put down drop cloths. Showed me how to put a drop cloth down. Well, see, I'd painted before, but I guess I wasn't doing it as good as I could. I always had the runny arm, you know. So he not only told me how to do it, but he showed me. And husbands, tell your wife you love her, but then show her. How long has it been since you take some flowers home? You come by a flower shop every night, maybe on the way home from work, but oh, I just like to get home and sit in that chair and read the evening paper and get a cup of coffee. I just do that, see. So you're cruising home, you pass a flower shop every night. You never stop and pick up some flowers. Flowers do wonders for girls. And wives, I don't know what they do, but they do something for girls. They really do. And the low-calorie candy. You know, you can stop at C's if you want, and McFarland's delicious. But if she has a propensity to getting a little heavy, maybe you ought to stop that and get the lighter, low-calorie candy. Take something home. Do you still open the car door for your wife on her side? A pastor was kind of concerned because he had a steady stream coming into his office of people in his congregation that were having problems. Finally, one day, he said, I want you, the assistant pastor, to go to the front of the church when I'm through preaching this morning. I'm going to go downstairs and view the parking lot out of the big window. He did this. And when he went down there and looked, he was astounded. 7 out of 10 husbands did not open the door for the wife. Just slip in, or he'd get in and sit down and race on. Did you finally get in, wife? You know? And he said, now I know the problem. If he'll do that and be so cocky that way, then other things are happening in the home. So are you showing your wife you really love her? And you wives, are you really giving your husband something to compliment? How do you look when he comes home from work? Hair squared away? Dress right? Are you all steamed up from the oven? Or how do you look, you know? You ought to give him something to compliment you on, rather than just coming into a haggard woman, you know? You got a wonderful, beautiful wife to come home to. And it's been said that some husbands have literally made old wrecks out of their wives because of not complimenting them. Boy, I don't want to do that, do you? So there we have it. Why it's important seven steps of communication, the essentials for real communication, and illustrate to communicate your ideas. Let's have a word of prayer.